This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
We are in Hollywood.
Hollywood.
In the Honda.
In the Honda where dreams come true.
Both
in the Honda and in Hollywood.
Yes, to be more specific, there's many different dreams that could come true. And we're in the place where all of them do.
Honda fit.
Any dream you can conjure.
Right.
You have to come to Los Angeles for it to come true.
Like if you want to be the best scuba diver in the world?
Yep. They have all that
LA.
Here.
Yep. We have that. We've
got
it.
You just find any building with that white flag and a diagonal red stripe and your dream.
You go straight to the top.
And you walk in that door and that's a dream room.
It's a dream scuba room. That's where usually scuba practice tanks are located.
Actually, my nightmares are about being underwater. So for me, it's a different kind of dream.
Really, because that connotes water is emotion, and if it's kicked up water, that means that you're.
Do you really know this?
I do.
Oh, wow.
I'm very interested in dream symbolism.
Oh, really?
So if you dream of very still water, it means you're calm and you feel good inside.
Okay.
If you dream of like rough oceans or crazy waves, I used to dream about tidal waves all the time. That means you got some issues going on. You're trying to get, work through it in your subconscious.
Am I just a bah humbug type guy if I don't believe in dreams meaning anything?
Yes.
I am. There's something
no.
to it.
No. I mean, it's whatever.
Oh, I mean, there's definitely, yes. Of course, there's a connection to your thoughts that
it
you're
is
suppressing.
Your brain. It is your it's brain.
I just mean when dreams, when
not
you dream
like astrology.
Something. Yeah, there's going to be an earthquake tomorrow because you dreamt your grandpa had the farts.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah,
that's like almost old wives' tales.
Yeah, I don't. That's why people get remarried.
Because those old wives that bullshit them all the
their
time.
Their ex-wives are always telling tales.
Oh, the corn harvest has to come in sooner this year. Shut up.
I'm submitting papers to you. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, when you get divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're serving papers.
Serving.
Oh, any divorce questions also, come here to Los Angeles. That's where all your divorce dreams can come true.
Just stop by any scuba station, and they will
divorce the fuck out of you.
They will null the fuck out of your marriage.
They will null you.
Last night was fun at the Hollywood Improvisation.
Oh, we did have a good time doing not improvised, but of course rehearsed comedy.
We have come upon a cul-de-sac of sorts with what can only be described as Pee-wee Herman's house.
This is we're at the end of a cul-de-sac that I didn't know was a dead-end street, and at the end there's just a little fake tiny child's house with a red front door.
Do you think little people live there?
I hope so. They have to live somewhere.
Oh, do you hope that they are little people with Pee-wee Herman suits? I just like miniatures. I'm not making... Okay, now it seems like I'm not making fun of little people.
It's a good visual.
I'm saying I enjoy tiny clothes and dollhouses. I guess I'm going smaller than actual human level.
Yeah, you're not doing little people.
I want a Pee Wee Herman suit that is the size of my finger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finger puppets.
I used to... When I was a kid, the family would gather around. This was the only performance of mine they really... Everyone supported, and I would give shows... puppet shows from behind the table, which is funny because it was a glass table and you could just see me behind it.
There's no curtain or any kind of like...
No, just a thick piece of glass, which many times... We also had a cat pole that was the kind that is just wedged between the ceiling and floor. And nine out of ten times...
Oh, yeah. Like a carpeted thing?
Yeah, a scratch post,
sure.
I guess.
Yep.
Of covering cart. And the cat would run to the top, and there's a little crow's nest, and he'd lay there. And sometimes the whole thing would just come careening down onto the glass table, and the cat would fly through shattered glass.
Yes!
And come out unscathed.
Wow.
Because cats...
That's how
you know
they
what
do.
They say about cats.
Yeah.
They always land on their feet, and they can do it nine times before they're dead.
Yeah. And they can work a pole like the oldest stripper in town.
Like my ex-wife. I was trying to do an old wife. Like my old wife. Darn it.
You were doing a bring it back?
This is one of those episodes where I tell I'm just personally going to need a little warm-up.
Well then let's drive and drive. Oh, we have to go back down there anyway. I thought we were on this block.
I needed
we
more.
We have to go down there.
Yeah, it's good. All the more time for me to warm up a little.
But we were just saying that we did the show last night.
At the Hollywood Improvisation.
Chris did a set. I did a set with Jordana Davis, who I do songs with.
Yes.
And someone was there when Matt McCarthy was introducing Chris. Matt mentioned the podcast and someone cheered for it. And we don't know who you are.
Yeah.
We didn't talk to you afterwards.
We rudely left.
Because you're our favorite kind of fan, the kind that also rudely leaves and doesn't talk to us.
That is my favorite.
I mean, to be honest.
It is interesting to me. Because we've all experienced the people that get a little too close and it's uncomfortable because they appreciate you, but then they're talking close to your face. Next thing you know, they go in for a move. They're grabbing you and maybe...
drawing you into the back of the van?
Half the time they steal your wallet. But it's the fan who just says, I'm totally coming to your show. And then you don't see them and you're like, well, where'd that one person that I put on the list, where'd they go?
And they
and
were
then
like...
after the show, nowhere to be seen.
Out then of your
you,
hair.
You go home and they're like, I loved the show.
Yep. Susie Ruse, she's on Twitter... Mm-hmm. She said she was there, and she loved it. I didn't talk to her.
Neither did I.
My fear is there were women during our set, which was at the end, so everyone was kind of tired. It was at midnight, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a table full of women who were fully... it looked like, when I looked out, it looked like we were interrupting their Friday night card party.
I can't believe, why do people go to comedy clubs to do that?
And spend so much money. But I think it's like, after a while, you've had so many drinks, you're just kind of like, I don't know. This isn't for me, whatever.
Yeah.
But I, of course, was fixated on it. And then only after the show, and at one point said something rude, after the show realized, what if it was just the one lady that was kind of drunk, and
right.
the other people were happy?
Right.
And maybe even somebody was like, one of our listeners or people we know from Twitter that like this podcast, and I was super rude.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to make that call. It's because you can't tell who's talking. But when people are interacting, it could have been the four people with her going, please, Susan.
Yes.
Please stop talking.
I beg you, Susan.
For the love of God.
I've heard this story already.
And then we lash out at that person.
Of course.
Oh, you have to be talking. But I was trying to make Susan stop.
It's Susan. The girl from the office I didn't even want to go out with
anyway. You're all dead to me because you ended up working with Susan. You could have worked somewhere else.
What we're saying is quit your job. If there's a Susan type in your life,
any.
Quit your job.
Any Susan.
Any
or Susie.
A Suze-esque
anyone
person.
With an S name.
Get out. Divorce.
You know my favorite people?
Who?
People with B names.
Like?
Brandy Posey.
Oh, shit. And we're about to pick her up right now.
We're in front of what might be your house.
I don't know.
It's an undisclosed location. Or maybe it's disclosed.
I'm going to say, I think we're outside. Brandy Posey is one of the three hosts of the Lady to Lady podcast, which is one of my favorite podcasts.
I need to listen to more podcasts.
Well,
I know where they do it. I've seen them come out of the building.
And I've done it because it's like a girl power podcast, but they're hilarious. great stand-up comics, each in their own right. Tess, it's, I always want to say Tess Rafferty.
Tess Barker.
It's Tess Barker. I don't even know Tess Rafferty. There she is.
There she is.
Oh, and Barbara Gray up. And Barbara. Our beautiful Brandy Posey, who right now has green hair.
I like it when her hair is, oh, it's green and on one half.
Yeah. Look at her.
There she is.
There she is.
That's Brandy Posey.
Hi, lady.
Hey. Oh, I'm so glad you guys put the cloth down for me. I shed a lot.
Well, then you're in the exactly right car.
Here's your microphone.
Oh, hooray.
Here we go.
Brandy Posey, Brandy, ladies and gentlemen.
Brandy Posey.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you.
Yeah, very happy.
Thanks,
how are
guys.
You doing? What are you doing?
What were you doing?
I was just writing with Liz Winstead for the Lady Parts Justice stuff.
Nice.
So I was writing sketches about abortions.
Funny.
Sunday afternoon. Real fun.
Now, doesn't Liz Winstead have something to do with the beginning of the Daily Show, the starting of it?
Yeah, she was one of the co-creators and, like, the executive producer for it.
Back in those Kilborn days, those memorable Kilborn
exactly.
days.
She might have been pre-Kilborn when it was John Stewart the first round.
Do you think there's That's people out there that are like, it's not Daily Show without Kilborn to me. Do you think there's a guy out there?
They're the worst people, but yes, those people definitely
exist. You mean people at Buffalo Wild Wings? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm positive they're out there.
People that only like tall people.
Yeah.
That fraction of people that just looks for tall with comedy. It's either Kilborn or Ben, what's that? Never mind. There's a tall guy, Ben something. Oh, wait.
Ben.
Who cares?
Ben.
I'm sure there's a number. Big Ben? Are you talking about the clock?
That's what I mean.
The funniest clock in London.
That clock did an hour in front of me, and I loved every minute of it.
Oh, my God. It's like you're waiting all your life to get set up for that joke.
It
was amazing.
It felt good. It felt good.
Yeah, it should have.
Perfect.
It should have felt good.
Well, tell us more about this project.
So Lady Parts Justice is a website that they make videos for all the different states that have really fucked up abortion laws, basically trying to, like, raise awareness and then also make fun of Lindsey Graham, by and large.
Sure.
They were working on a trap queen parody video when I left, where Lindsey Graham was a trap queen.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Really fun to learn about what a trap queen is while writing abortion jokes.
I don't know what a trap queen is.
It's a trap queen. It's a really popular song this summer.
Okay.
The rap song, a trap queen is a girl that stands by her man no matter what.
Uh-huh.
So.
Wow. And yeah. So.
Well, then Lindsey Graham really is a trap queen.
Yeah, he is a trap queen.
That's no
he
joke.
Yeah. Also, I learned the word bando, B-A-N-D-O, which is short for abandoned house.
Oh.
So, the more you know, guys.
And it's not, no longer do we refer to those, like, the tops that they give out on Survivor as a bando top?
Those are also bandos, but that's B-A-N-D-E-A-U.
I see.
What about that thing you wear in a pageant?
Just a banner?
That's a.
You mean like sash?
It's called a sash.
It's a
Thank
sash.
Thank you, Brandy. Yes. Beat me to it. Yeah. Okay.
Miss Congeniality style?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah.
Underrated movie.
One of the greatest.
Anything Sandy Bullock, I'm on board.
There you
Sandy
go.
Cries, I,
really
I cry.
It. It sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but I really enjoy Sandy.
I wouldn't allow you to be sarcastic about Sandy.
She's
my favorite.
She's so likable.
She is.
Right?
When has she ever not been likable?
No, she's the greatest. And I just recently watched one of her very first movies, which is the one where she's the quote-unquote ugly scientist. And then it's called Love Potion Number 9 because
they discover
a love potion.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a really satisfying movie in that she starts out, it's kind of truly ugly. And it's the rule, if you feel like you might not be that attractive, go get your eyebrows done. Because that really is kind of a linchpin.
It fixes everything.
Am I right?
It fixes everything. But I will say, you want them done by like a Russian or like an Eastern European woman.
Right.
Like who you want to do your eyebrows.
Hopefully in like a music-filled montage scene.
Yes.
Where she also takes off your paint-covered overalls.
Yeah. Yes. And gives you caps on your terrible teeth.
The guy that wrote that movie and also wrote Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and The Money Pit, I think, and all these movies that are about, maybe with the exception of Love Potion Number 9, but all these movies that are about horrible splits and divorces and people being scandalous to each other.
Uh-huh.
I sat next to him on a plane back when they did the last Aspen Festival.
Yeah.
And we just were talking. He said, I used to make movies. I haven't made a successful movie since the early 90s, but still writing. And he was so bitter and angry. And every woman that got on the plane, he was like, yeah, I used to date her. She's bad shit.
Oh, no.
She's an idiot. Oh, that guy? See that guy? He stole from it. Like, he was knew all these Aspen people that are all rich people. It's like, there's a gold digger. She just moved there, and she's married three different friends of mine.
Yes.
He was so angry. But I still, he was interesting, and I was like, I can't believe you wrote Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and it apparently was just about him. But then he went to the show and sent me a long email saying different things I could do better in my comedy.
Oh, so boy. He's the best person on the planet.
Yeah.
He's so awesome.
He's the best.
I wonder why his movies aren't getting made anymore, and that's interesting.
Maybe it is.
Was he wearing a Hawaiian shirt? I imagine all the writers in the 90s, like, wore a lot of Hawaiian shirts.
He totally, yes. I guarantee, I can't remember if he was, but I guarantee he owns many, many Tommy Bahama tops.
Yeah, real paunchy and a Bahama on top of it.
I really did love most of the movies that you named that he did, though.
They're good movies. I know.
The Money Pit used to make us cry and laughing.
There's a huge one that I'm missing that, I don't know. Well, I am
the Jerk?
At home.
Is it like a Steve,
it's
one of those people?
It's very much like... War of the Roses, he made that.
Oh, okay. That's depressing.
Yeah, yeah. But they're all about people turning on each other.
Yeah, hating each other.
And all he had was stories about people that used to be in his life that he now hated. And I'm like, wow, I think you're a walking version of your latest script.
Right, what you know.
Does life imitate art, or does art imitate life?
Brandy, have you ever written a script? I know you're writing.
I have like three quarters of a script that is written.
Like a motion picture movie?
A motion picture script, yeah. My writing partner, she lives in Salt Lake now, though. So it's kind of hard to... I really want to finish this thing, but she has horrible ADD and is in love, and it's like... difficult to pin her down to finish it.
Long distance.
Can you put any of that into the script?
Yeah. One of the characters is becoming more and more like her as I go back and look at things. It'll get finished sooner or later.
I suppose everyone writes together differently. I've never really had a long-term writing partner, but it seems like a lot of people just write a little bit, and then you send it to the other person, and you can maybe do that.
Yeah.
I just want you guys to work it out. I'm giving suggestions.
Thanks, Chris.
I want you to break
that.
It off.
Script is over, it will be. That's kind of, you know.
Well, you announced it here, and I hope she's listening.
Hey.
No, you're great.
Yay.
Yay, non-specific named great person.
I have an idea for a script.
Yeah?
Do you want me to say what it is?
Do you want to say what it is?
I mean,
do you want someone to
thing?
Steal it?
Is it about robots again?
It's my new robot idea.
Okay.
Different than the old robot idea. No.
Let's brainstorm it. Let's really beat it out.
But don't you think if I say it and it's recorded and time stamped and that's in some way a way of marking intellectual property?
That the fat Jew will steal it?
The fat Jew is going to steal it. This will be his Comedy Central pilot, whatever you say right now.
For God's sake, I don't even talk about the guy because I feel uncomfortable with what I just
said.
It's a guy that goes by the name the fat Jew.
You never say that.
It felt weird coming out, but that's the name of
Oh, yeah, that's true. If you don't know what Chris is talking about, that was a shockingly racist moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
New levels
exactly.
on this podcast.
Yeah. Everyone tweeting about it, I'm like, wow, out of context. That seemed like,
yeah.
You guys, let's. The fat Jew is a thief. Nobody, everyone unfollow the fat Jew. It's like, easy, God.
Yeah.
Just...
It needs a little bit of context for, like, the non-comedy nerds who are just, like, casually following people on Twitter. Just, like, all the comedians just became super racist overnight.
Yeah, it's weird. Calling each other, they're just calling all large Jewish people thieves.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, all fat Jewish people share one Twitter handle together, so it's a cabal against
them. That's it. It's a big conspiracy. They're all one handle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
That's how they run Hollywood, through the one
rip-off
Twitter Instagram feed.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're getting famous off it.
It's really funny. I like watching stuff like that on Twitter because when that first started to bubble up, it was like one person here and there being like, this is bullshit, and posting their tweet that was posted 2 years ago and got literally like 5,000 faves or whatever, and then the fact you retweeting it and getting like 10,000 or whatever, and just it's exactly the same ripoff. There's no difference.
Yeah, no punctuation change. It's a literal cut.
It's so shameless.
Not literal, I guess. He would have to get scissors and glue, but
Yeah.
It's a total cut and paste.
A full-on cut and paste.
I just want to know what happens to you as a child to make you that person.
Yeah.
As an adult.
Like, to make it okay.
Someone ignores you a lot.
Yeah. Oh, have you seen a picture of him with this shitty haircut?
Yeah, you mean the ponytail that goes straight up in the air?
Yeah.
Sumo style?
Mm-hmm. And then, like, the shaved around it. All of it's just awful.
There's little to like.
I want to lop it off. Yeah.
He's got, like, partial beginnings of payos on each side.
What is payos?
The little... payos. The little curls that Orthodox Jews have.
Oh, okay.
But they're long. I mean, they... You know.
I might as well be yelling it out of context, because if I don't know that, I'm clearly an anti-Semite.
What is payos?
What is this payos you speak of? Oh, I guess I've seen that in picture books.
It's really bad. I will be very interested to see what happens, because... he's getting signed to CAA.
Yes.
Those people are so sensitive to social media stuff.
I bet they drop him.
I mean, and also what, like, there was a part of the article talking about how he has ideas he's going to try to sell to Comedy Central. And it's just like, this is, it's so beyond, I mean, what ideas would he have if he's stolen everything?
Yeah, exactly. How do you not get sued? Like, how are you able to clear anything that he thinks... that he brings to you?
Or even, even if it's brand new and he's like, well, here's my idea. Mm-hmm. He got there on the backs of everybody else being funny. So he's unproven, unless he's a total sociopath.
Which is probably true. It's probably true that he's a total sociopath.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Being super okay with stealing.
I don't think he cares. Look at that. Chris, you should skateboard on that.
I know. It's a full-on... It's very, very, very against the law to skate there. But, of course, it's just a building that looks like a skate park.
It's Superior Court.
Yes.
Just the most against the law.
You skate there for 5 minutes, and then you walk right into the courtroom, and they go ahead and give you your ticket. It's a nice system they have there.
Very convenient.
Yeah, it is. It's a one-stop legal...
This is a fascinating part of town.
We're in K-Town right now, right?
I think so, but it's this weird street. Like, we just went by Castle's Burgers, which I've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
I've only heard of.
Here's a park that's going to be... it's not even packed.
No.
Isn't this a nice park day?
Yeah. Well, it's too hot, maybe.
It's becoming a nice park day. Now that the sun is past its zenith.
Oh, man, is it hot. Brandy, are you a hot weather person?
No. I mean, I like the dry heat of California. If I have to be in the heat, I like a 65 degree day. I like a hoodie day.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Same. Love a hoodie day.
You are a hoodie person. I've seen you wear many a hoodie.
I just love a hoodie. I mean, that's like one of the most underrated inventions of the last 200 years.
Yeah,
right.
Easily,
I would say,
if not five.
My favorite hoodie that I have is a Fat Records hoodie, which makes me think of how Mike from Fat Records took a picture of your car.
Yes.
And he said, what did he say?
He said, he was like, ugliest car ever. # tech bros in San Francisco. Because I was up in San Francisco. And the fact that I found that, let me tell you how I found it. I was like, had insomnia. And I was on Instagram at like 4 a.m.
No one told you?
No one told me. I was on Instagram. I was scrolling through my feed. I happened to come across Fat Mike, and I have never done this before, but I was like, let's see what Fat Mike's been up to. So I opened up his page, and then my car was looking at me, and I was like, wait a minute.
Did I mess up?
No, you never do. Like,
did
when
you
something
shake
is...
your phone and then look at the bottom of it?
Well, I was like, did I forget how the world works? You know, like when something is so out of place that you're like, no, I'm wrong.
Yes.
I'm wrong about
my
everything.
My eyes deceive me.
Yes.
Now, describe your car so people understand what that situation is.
So my car has murals painted on both sides of it. On one side, it has Abe Lincoln fighting a T-Rex in space. And on the other side is a fire-breathing Brendan Fraser.
That's who that is.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Richard Nixon, but it's supposed to be Brendan Fraser. And the Brendan Fraser side is the one that Fat Mike posted. And I tweeted at him and was just like, hey, if it makes you feel any better, I'm like a touring comic. And,
I'm not a tech nerd or whatever.
Yeah. Big fan of your stuff. And he never responded. And I was like, oh, man.
Aww.
It felt like he should have, right?
And you are a fan of his stuff.
I am. I love Fat Mike. I love everything that he does.
Maybe you just missed it. Maybe you should send it again.
Yeah, I should just repost it.
Just keep reposting it.
Yeah, constantly. I just... The fact that I found it was so crazy because I've never looked through his feed before.
That I thought for sure someone told you about it and you're like, okay.
No. And then the crazy part is like later that weekend, I drive for Lyft to make money because you can't make money doing comedy in Los Angeles. And I picked up a girl that lives in the same building as Fat Mike, and it came up organically, and then I told her about it, and she, like, looked it up, and she was like, I'm gonna tell him, I know that I rode in that car the next time I see him. So I like, kind of want to take, like, 5 years and just have a bunch of people just that I know whenever they see Fat Mike mention it. Yeah. So, like, there's a climactic build of some kind.
This will be your Taylor Dane.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Like exactly.
But then you should kill him, right? Once you actually
I mean, he's killing himself.
You just took the words out of my mouth.
That was your idea?
Karen, Brandy, you have to kill him.
You got to.
I could kill Fat Mike.
All you have to do is...
I mean, I could kill Fat Mike.
Make him sprint.
Yeah, that would... He's not good to himself.
He's got a bad ticker.
Yeah. I don't know who he is.
He's the lead singer of NOFX.
NOFX.
Oh.
And the founder of Fat Records.
But he's quite truly fat.
Yeah.
Lost a little. Yeah. He's not as fat as he used to be.
More drug bloat. It should be Drug Bloat Mike, I think, is what his name should be.
He was never that fat. Even during the quintessential album, White Trash, yes. Two Heaps and a Bean. Which is as hard for me to say as the fat Jew. He was never that fat. He was as fat as the fat Jew.
Yeah.
God, I can't stop saying it.
The fat Jew is also not that fat.
No, he's a husky.
But
the husky
he is
Jew.
Making himself as ludicrous looking as possible, which I worry about people like that.
If he just had a nice haircut and wrote his own jokes.
And didn't wear tank tops.
He'd be such a sweet boy.
Yeah. Just know if you can wear a tank top or not. And don't. Just don't.
Yeah.
But then it's I think that's why so many people are embracing him, separate from knowing that he's a total cheater stealer, is like, oh, look at
body acceptance.
Look at that fat Jew. Gets to be a model. Like, people think that's funny in and of itself, kind of not knowing the context, I think.
Again, speaking of context, if you just tuned in, the fat Jew is a guy who named himself that comedically, that is an internet sensation through the theft of other people's
He's more of a curvy Jew, I think.
He is. He's a full Jew.
Yeah. He's a full figured Jew.
kind of Zoftig Jew.
Yeah, he's very like a pinup Jew.
Yeah. He's a pinup Jew.
Just a pinup.
Now, how is your podcast going, Lady to Lady? Very popular podcast. Yeah. Are you also on All Things Comedy?
Oh no, we're on Maximum Fun.
Oh, that's right.
Rival network.
But
we all get along.
Oh,
yes,
good. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
We are both frequent Max funners. Karen and I.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw you coming out of the building one day.
Wait, me or Karen?
The lady to lady, the whole posse.
Oh, yeah. We just passed Max Fun headquarters, actually.
Yes, we did.
Yes,
I love
that building.
It's gorgeous.
So cool.
It has a really awesome view of the MacArthur Park Lake.
Yeah, and if you squint, you can't see the 3 or 4 dead bodies that are just laying openly midday.
But if you focus just right, you can witness many, many drug transactions.
Drug transactions and a couple sexual transactions.
Whatever you want.
Whatever kind of transaction you want.
That's where one of my co-hosts, Tess Barker, she got her fake ID there recently.
What?
Tess got a fake ID because... So Tess loves Britney Spears. And, of course, the story starts there.
Yes.
And Vegas... Britney in Vegas was having a Britney Day, and if your name was Britney, you got to go to the show for free. Which means that Tess Barker got a fake ID, making her a Britney.
Yes, she did.
She chose the name Britney Murphy.
Nice.
That is great.
And she made her birthday 420. and she took 4 years off her actual age, which was really great. And it's the fakest ID ever. But she, like, got her ID at MacArthur Park.
Which was great.
Did it work? Did she go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it worked. It worked. And there were a bunch of Britneys. And, like, a couple of the Britneys were really smug about theirs being spelled the same way as Britney Spears. And some of the... And it was, like, a little bit of a point of contention.
Wait, there was other people also getting fake Britney IDs?
No, there were real Britneys.
No, she was talking at the concert.
Oh, yeah, at the concert.
Okay.
This is when Tess was interacting with the 15-year-old girls.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, she was definitely the oldest. Frequently, Lady to Lady does a bunch of stuff where we are the oldest girl or boy at an event, which is hilarious. Like, Barbara and I went to a Taco Bell house party because we got an email for it.
What?
And the only other people there were 18-year-old boys. Just 2 30-year-old women and a bunch of 18-year-old boys.
That's so great.
What does that entail?
Yeah, we got a bunch of numbers.
Yeah, they worked that room.
So Taco Bell took over this house, and they, like, they had a s'mores pit, and they had a bunch, they had a mechanical bull in the backyard, and they had this one room of just blank canvases, and you could tag it up with paint markers.
Sure.
With the Taco Bell induced diarrhea.
Yeah, you just like bite the top off of a burrito and just were like writing on the canvases with it.
Just seven layer swipes.
Yeah. Oh, and they had a silent disco room too. Have you seen those?
No.
Where, like,
I have. I've gone to a silent disco party.
Yeah. How did you like this? So silent disco is basically where you wear headphones.
Everyone's
that are
wearing headphones.
Yeah. Okay. And then it's like in this room there were two DJs, so you could listen to one of two stations. So half of the room was dancing to two different things.
And then if you take them off in silence, you can just watch everyone dance to nothing, and that's what makes it kind of interesting. So I periodically was taking mine off.
Yeah.
And just watching people dance to no music is a pretty surreal.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. This all spells drugs to me.
It felt very druggy. It's very druggy.
I mean, it's Taco Bell.
Yeah. To me, it was like when I went to my silent disco party. It was the most sober. It was almost like board game night. Actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just,
people weren't tripping out over it. They were just like, wow, this is stimulating on a human level. Well, let's all drive home sober.
It's all very somber dancing. Yes. Just not smiling.
It was an emo disco party.
I know what you're thinking, Karen, and you think it sounds silly, because I went there very hesitantly. I'm like, what? I don't get it. But right away, I got it.
And you were into it.
I kept hoping that, like, there was going to be, in the silent disco room, there was just going to be people just, like, farting unrepentantly because of the headphones.
Oh, they just think that no one can hear them.
Yeah,
it's just CNC fart factory.
Yep. Yep. It was funny because it was when the grillers came out at Taco Bell, and they were, like, handing them out on, like, platters. And me and Barbara kept grabbing them and then going around the corner of the house to eat. Because we were like, we're not going to be seen. They're not taking photos or video of me fucking eating Taco Bell at this party. That's not going to happen.
Oh, that's funny. I feel the same way. I don't even like it when you're eating with someone and they're looking at you.
It's the worst,
yeah,
right?
It's pretty difficult.
Avert your eyes.
The self-confidence it takes to eat a sandwich around a stranger is just...
Seriously.
I don't understand it. Especially a big sandwich.
When you have to, like, get it all around your mouth. And also, I use 1,000 napkins because, maybe it's, I'm just so, like, my hands are too in my food like a raccoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's when someone else is there, it's like, why aren't you using this many napkins?
No, yeah. I've ended relationships because of a dollop of mayonnaise on the corner of someone's mouth. It's like, you take that trash to someone else's friendship.
No, seriously.
It's disgusting.
Ugh. Well,
oh, mayonnaise.
Especially mayonnaise.
But wait, where was the Taco Bell house party?
Yeah, we know what it is, aioli.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a house in like Highland Park. It was like a super cool house, and they rented the whole thing. And it was like 300 18-year-old boys, and then the two of us. And like we got there.
Did you get a little lip, as my cousin Eileen used to say?
A little lip?
Yeah, you make out with somebody. You got a little lip.
I think we looked like the mothers of these children,
yeah.
So we felt very awkward. It was funny because when we first got there, we got there like an hour early because we were like, oh shit, like there's going to be a crazy line, but there was not. We were like the fifth people in line. So then the best part was having a lot of children come and stand behind us. So we were like kind of talking to kids in line, just being like, what's up? Yeah, we love Taco Bell too. And like they did not want to talk to us, which was fine.
You're cool. Look, an 18-year-old, you're approachable to an 18-year-old.
I like to think
so. Your hair is aqua.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so I live in a trailer park in Eagle Rock, and it is right next to a school for children, for like a musical, like a hippie school or whatever. And there's
a school
always,
of rock?
Yeah, it's basically a school of rock, except with all cellos.
Oh, okay.
So a school of not rock.
School of Rock Modernov.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
and
if I had known the name.
That was too.
Thank you.
And I try to go out of my way to be as eccentric as possible whenever I leave the house and the children are on their lunch breaks, because they like sit in my neighborhood and they will like eat stuff from the neighborhood, like sitting right outside of my house. So I frequently will like walk my dog in a moo-moo and like wear my hair up in a pompadour and just try to be like the crazy trailer park lady that is next. I want to be like an urban legend to this school.
Yes.
Is like my goal over time.
That's a good goal.
Yeah.
I love that you live near that school, and I love that you live in a trailer park and Eagle Rock.
It's awesome, man. We bought our house for, I'm a homeowner in Los Angeles, you guys.
Hey. You are?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
we own
terrific.
Our house. And it's the price of a nice car, which is crazy. And we have, like, it's two bedrooms. We have central air. We have washer-dryer in our place.
Wait,
sick.
Is this one of those modern trailers that's really like a storage unit that's been...
No, it's like a prefab home. It's not like it's not like an RV. It's like a prefab house, like a double wide kind
of. That's so cool. And in your neighborhood, there are probably trailers with wheels on them. And
yeah, there's a couple. There's a couple. I mean, like the trailer park is actually really small. There's only like 32 lots or something like that. So the like even across the street and to the left of me are like real actual houses. So it's funny because like the average price for houses in our neighborhood is like $750,000. And then we were like, when we moved in, I was like, we're frauds. This is hilarious. I don't know how we pulled this
That's
off.
That's so cool.
That's amazing.
I was in escrow. I couldn't stop laughing about it.
I'm going to be a real fat Jew right now and tell someone else's joke. Their name is Jimmy Wingfield, and they changed it to Jimmy Roulette. Okay, here's his joke.
Yes.
Okay. My wife and I went out to look at some trailers. Mm-hmm. We went to the mobile park to check out some trailers. And the guy, when I said, yeah, we're here to look at some of your trailers, he acted like I spit in his face. He said, they aren't trailers. They're manufactured homes. Yep. And so he said, well, today's my lucky day because you manufactured these homes to look just like trailers. The end.
Yeah.
I did it wrong. I did it bad.
No, it's
I
good.
Did the joke bad.
My trailer park joke
You have to
is...
see him do it.
Look him up, you guys.
Sorry,
What's
Jimmy.
His name? Jimmy what?
I think he's a prison guard now.
Jimmy Roulette? Is he in Austin?
He was in Austin. Yeah, he's still in Austin. I think he was doing very well, and he was managed by Rich Miller, and he was getting all this heat. And I don't know if he's still doing stand up. I think he like literally went and became a prison guard.
That's a intense job training.
You're ready. I guess
that's the opposite actually of what he was doing before.
I suppose it depends on which clubs you're going to. Crackers in Indianapolis.
Well, he has a captive audience now. So
captive audience.
Hello, Sandy Brandy. Posey knows what she's doing.
We should all be on At Midnight right now.
Can you make that happen?
Oh God, let me ask for a 12th time to no avail.
This would be a really great panel. Mm-hmm. Chris Hardwick, if you're listening.
Yeah.
He's not.
Oh, man.
He's not.
Let's just go sit at his table at the diner that he hangs at all the time.
It's enough for me that people, just 1 out of 100 people, still call me Chris Hardwick. That's enough.
That is pretty nice.
It's nice of them.
You know, you get a little something at the end of the day. Like it's pretty sweet.
It's like a little residual check.
Can I tell you guys that I, in driving to the dog park the other day, saw a grown man, like over 50, fall off of his bike. It just reminded me of that because that guy's walking. That guy's very reasonably walking his bike across the intersection.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did it because I wasn't looking. I was like looking at my dog in the rearview mirror. And then when I looked forward, there was a kind of an old guy getting up off the ground and like kind of like he had to push his bike across the street. And I truly like when he stood up, I pretended I needed to look at something over my other shoulder so that he thought I didn't see it.
That was good.
Because
thinking.
It was that
And were you jiggling because you were laughing?
No, I was like, oh man. I was super bummed out for him.
I was in
I would have laughed.
Dayton, Ohio. Let's all swap laughing at people falling stories.
Okay. Oh, it's the best.
I was in Dayton, Ohio, and some guy was carrying bags of ice and like just holding it by the top. And one of them had a tear in it or something, and it ripped open. And as the ice dropped, he just dove and landed on all this ice, but slid on his stomach like he was at a water park.
Oh,
and it looked, and he made a, and it happened right in front of me. And I didn't have time to turn my head. I just laughed with full eye contact. I should have just pointed, just to make it worse. I was so funny.
It's so good. I think usually I'm the faller, and that's why I don't. I have that sensitivity because I've done so much falling in my life. So much. My classic one is falling in the crosswalk in New York City. Back when I was still drinking, I was holding calzone on a paper plate, and I fell down crossing the street.
Please say you landed on the calzone and everything shot out the side.
It fell down straight down on the plate. I got up, and the calzone was never hit the ground, so I picked it back up. I was shit-faced out of my mind. But what had happened was I had split my pants from the knees up to the crotch on both sides, so I had to walk home.
It's like a fashion look.
It was like I was like I looked like a solid gold dancer. My pants were split, so as I walked, they would just kind of go open close as I walked up the street.
didn't realize as you finished your calzone that you invented a new ventilated pant system.
And maybe less calzones would have made it so that I didn't, they wouldn't have ripped so easily.
Let's take a moment of silence for all the fallen calzones. Brandy, what's your falling down story? Have you ever watched someone fall down and laughed at them?
More fallen yourself.
The story that pops to mind is on a New Year's Eve, many, many moons ago, I was going to go see the Pie Tasters play at the 930 Club in D.C.
I love the Pie Tasters.
Love them. They're a great ska band. And I was passing, it's in like a shitty part of town, and I was passing a bunch of homeless guys, two of which were dressed like the dirtiest Santa Clauses you've ever seen. And I like looked at them and laughed. And then I looked forward and I tripped on the biggest piece of asphalt and I like scraped up both of my knees really bad. And I was just like, okay, karma. This is what I get. Yeah. This is exactly what I get.
Immediate karma.
Yeah, just immediately just full out laughing at like two homeless guys who were just like, I was cold and there was a Santa suit. And then I like went into the club and I was wearing like a cherry dress because that's what you do at a show.
Sure.
And a 400 pound bouncer with the biggest gauges that I've ever seen, he patched up my knees for me.
Oh, wow. Aww.
Yeah.
With patches that he had?
Yeah. He sewed some high tension patches
anarchy
to my knees.
One said corrosion of conformity.
And one said keep on trucking.
I was pretty cool for a couple of weeks until they scabbed out.
Until my body rejected them.
They never fully fused to my knees.
No, no. Nope. It's so hard to use fabric patches as epidermis.
Somebody get on that, scientists that are listening.
Maybe you could invent something.
I saw a little girl in my grammar school. Mm-hmm. This is the worst falling down story, but best. Because in my grammar school, the whole playground was like at a probably 45 degree slant. Uh-huh. And when you walked in, there was a little weird patch of asphalt that went over. It was like a little, you just kind of walked downhill as you walked onto the playground.
Yeah.
And all the eighth graders stood around on the left right as you walked in. So all the different grades hung out in different spots on the playground. Mm-hmm. And this girl, I'll never forget it. I think she was one of the Tinney sisters. There was like literally six girls in the Tinney family. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the youngest ones. And she truly looked like a little painting. She was the cutest little girl. And it was free dress. So she had brand new Mary Janes on. And she hit that patch of asphalt, slipped and landed on her ass. And we were all standing there, like all the eighth graders, and we all turned and looked, and we're like, oh, and then she got up, she's like, I'm fine, got up, stood up, slipped, fell down again, got up, fell down again, and she literally did it like four times, and it was like, at first it was like, you know, like eighth grade girls standing around, and the fourth time, people were like running to her side.
Stop falling.
It was like grammar school nightmare.
That reminds me of the woman who was singing the national anthem at some hockey game, and she keeps slipping and falling over and over and over. And she just quits. She doesn't even finish the song. She just takes off and was going through the little gate by the penalty boxes and slipped again.
No.
On the ramp. People were like, please stop falling. It's probably that girl grown up.
Yeah.
Was she a singer?
She could have been. I could never look at her again.
I assumed she was a singer since you called them the Tinney Sisters. Like, we all know them.
Yeah. You know the Tinney Sisters from Lawrence Welk.
Yeah, they opened for the Judds. Lawrence Welk.
You know the Tinney Sisters.
That's probably a moment that she sees before she goes to sleep at night still.
Like, for sure.
Definitely relives that over and over again.
Yeah. And for me, and hopefully for everyone listening, mm-hmm. that's why you have to scuff your new shoes before. Like, since that day, which was I was 13, eighth mm-hmm. grade, anytime I get new shoes, I just immediately would walk out into the driveway and walk around for mm-hmm. like 10 minutes.
Oh, that's funny.
You got to pre-scuff those new shoes, ladies. Yeah. And gentlemen.
I don't know. It's funny because I've always been a skateboarder, and the scuffing it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I try to make my skate shoes look as good as possible for just a handful of days. But I'll let them get dirty through activity.
Yeah.
But to self-scuff, that's just a poser, man.
Well, but that's a different shoe.
It's a lady dress shoe.
It is.
Yeah, we're talking about a hard shoe.
One of my favorite things to do is on Hollywood Boulevard when it rains. This is why I'm upset about the drought. Hollywood Boulevard, when it rains, gets very slick.
Yes.
And there's nothing better than a Saturday night and a bunch of girls and like their little little tiny dresses with their gargoyle heels on, just slipping on, sliding all over the place.
You just post up and watch tailbones get broken.
Oh, it's hilarious. That's some good falling down.
Do some version of Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Yeah.
You, in your own silent disco, you're just watching them dance, unwittingly dance.
Did you ever do that?
Oh, it's fun to do.
I'll stop doing that. Oh, I like it. Very loyal. It's my favorite thing.
I like the Kid Rock ball with the ball, the bang, the bang, diggy, 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 the boogie, set up, jump the boogie. That's always been a favorite.
Yeah. It rolls off the tongue and takes only a half minute.
Yeah, that's all it does.
I like last night Matt McCarthy is bringing back singing Wild Wild West. We were laughing so hard, and that goddamn audience, the audience laughed the second time.
Yeah.
But the first time he did it, I thought he was going to destroy, and they just were staring at him like, we don't know what you're talking about.
I dared him to do it at a show a few nights ago because he was actually listening to it on his phone to make us laugh in the green room. It's like, I dare you to hold the mic up to your phone and play Wild Wild West, and which Wild is, of course, a Will Smith song from the movie Wild Wild West. By the way,
classic film.
A movie that Will Smith turned down the Matrix to be in.
Is that true?
Yeah. Will Smith was supposed to be Keanu Reeves.
See, fate.
Yeah,
I'm so glad he wasn't.
But the audience, and they were not the best one at the West Side that night, they laughed so hard every time he did Wild Wild West. And it made
it's really funny.
Well, to be fair, that song is more fun than the Matrix rap you could have written.
Yeah, which would sound like 1001, 11001.
Yeah. Take the blue pill, take the red pill.
Binary code. Sorry. Okay, I'm done.
Pick up the phone. Let's never be done.
Let's not ever be done.
Let's never ever finish. Oh, look, Karen's garden. Ooh. Guys, my name's never in anything.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
What is it?
It's a beautiful little art gallery.
It's a beautiful art gallery named after you.
And yeah. Jerk Shack.
Definitely a Jerk Shack.
Art gallery and jerk massage.
You got to get it all taken care of in one place in the city of dreams. Mm-hmm. What are your future plans, Brandy? Oh, we're playing at your album recording.
Yes, I'm recording my first album on September 20th at the Red Gate Recorders in Highland Park. And Karen and Drennan will be playing on it.
That's terrific.
It's going to be super fun.
What is the Red Gate Recorders? Is that a studio situation?
Yeah, it's a recording studio that has this really cool performance space. And I'm like starting to... I've done a couple of shows there, and I'm starting to kind of... make it a thing, which is cool.
That's a good idea to be really familiar and comfortable in the room.
That's smart.
No. Yeah, I've been looking for the right place because, like, a lot of people do things at, like, Nerdist and UCB, and, like, I am tangentially part of, like, the UCB family because we do Lady to Lady there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And while we do Picture This at Nerd Melt, they don't book me on anything else, so I wasn't going to give them my album. So I was like, well, I'm just going to create my own venue and do absolutely everything from scratch because I'm stubborn. So.
And that's kind of your way. Like, yeah. I like that. You know, you're a pioneer.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank
I
you.
I did something where I tried... with Rooftop to just, they already are set up in all these comedy clubs across the country. I tried in Austin. I tried in Cincinnati at a place called Go Bananas.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, would do two shows and record them and be like, nope, neither of those were it. Sorry, I wasted everyone's time.
Yeah.
And then finally had them remotely set up at a club where I felt comfortable and wanted to be. And it was the Punchline in San Francisco. And then it worked.
We were just there.
It's your brain. It's your brain. It's... Oh, you were?
Yeah, we were just up there opening for Janine Garofalo, and that room, yeah, that's a great room.
Yeah,
it's a good feeling, and it's so clubbish.
Yeah,
you know, it's the real deal.
Yeah, I love that place.
Such nice people too.
They are nice people.
Yeah,
I will say something about San Francisco.
Do it.
Yes.
They need
to wake up.
They are very they are woken up, and they are very aware, and they're very liberal, of course.
Huh. And they love to hiss.
So much so that they act like there's certain things, if you talk about it, they act like they should be offended. So they kind of tighten up.
Mm-hmm.
If you just said... mention abortion or something as part of a joke, they're like, oh, I know, that's not funny. So if you tighten up like that, you're so liberal that you go back to being conservative again if you're not open to listening to certain things.
And it
take that specific
thing. Note as a city.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to, like, when they don't give you the benefit of the doubt on any premise, and you're just like, hey, you liked the last couple of jokes. Have I not proven that I'm a decent enough person that I'm not going to say something horrific to you?
Yeah.
But they just, like, have no trust.
Sometimes I like where you're somewhere and they are going with you on a bunch of jokes, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, if it's a good enough audience, you know, if all of a sudden a joke doesn't work, I'll be like, wow, they liked everything but that. Maybe I'll stop doing it. Maybe I'll learn something from these people.
Yeah.
I kind of like it when they're like, yes, yes, no.
But, you know, there's a, what's funny, too, is, like, I remember doing a joke. This was back when I got married. Can't explain it. I had a joke about that I always said I wouldn't get married until everyone can get married. And that was right up until someone actually proposed. Now I'm like, get your own rights.
Yeah.
The first time I did it was at Akbar, my friend's comedy show, where it's almost completely gay men that that go to that show. And the first time I did it, they went fucking berserk for it. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm in the clear. Because even if you're, you know, not like a gay comedy nerd like these guys are.
Yeah.
At least it's so obvious and, like, on the nose that they'll get it. And I did that at Cobb's, and it was totally just like, you could. It was like old bitchy ladies in the back that were pissed. Yes. That was what the whole audience was acting like.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I don't. Whatever.
Hey, I hate to start another fat Jew moment. Here's a joke I'm going to do that was the terrific Harris Whittles that's a lot like that one. Here we go.
Okay.
I'm not going to get married until gay people can get married because I'm gay.
No, that's a way better joke.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to one-up your joke.
No, it's all right.
And technically his is a tweet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. Okay.
That's fair game.
What else, Brandy? Sometimes we have lulls, and then when we have them, I just call them out immediately, right when the lull starts.
Chris loves to hang a flag.
That was a lull.
I think we were all just breathing for a second.
Yeah, exactly.
No, sorry, I got to wave that flag. That was a void in entertainment.
I think you had a lull fear that made you. There was barely a pause.
Lull phobia.
I am lull phobic.
LOL.
I've always been lull phobic.
What, Brandy, what is your favorite television show right now?
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Currently, Drag Race. Had you guys watched Drag
Race? Only good thing.
It's really fun.
It's amazing.
I tell you what, a couple months ago, I used to on Instagram, I went through a phase where I was like, I'm going to follow all these, like, exercise Instagrams. I'm going to get motivated. And then, like, a month ago, I was like, fuck this. And I deleted all of them. And now I follow a bunch of drag queens.
Yes.
And way it's better. Made the world a better place.
Yes.
Highly, highly recommend
drag queen comedy is my favorite style of comedy, hands down. Any, like, drag bingo is my favorite thing to do in the world.
Yeah.
I think it's so hilarious. They're so sharp. Mm-hmm. They have these skills, life skills, that have enabled them to stand in front of large groups of strangers dressed as a woman and fucking just drive it.
Yeah.
Just
be
in charge.
Those personas are so cool and over the top that I'm just like, I could never be that.
Yes.
And I love comedy that I could never be.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so cool. It's like, I could never do that. It's like, I love Jimmy Pardo for that same reason, because I'm way too scripted to ever just let myself go the way that he does.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like watching, it's when comedy becomes magic as opposed to, like, me being jaded and being like, oh, that's funny. I like that premise the way I am with so many people.
Well, and also it allows you to relax because you get to, like, the rare time you get to be 100% audience member.
Totally.
And you're not, you don't have to be analytical. You don't have to be kind of like, here's my better idea.
Yeah.
Because it's just a realm that you don't do and don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
Like, we were at drag bingo in New York one time, and we were with a girl that I work with that was the type of girl, oh, look, a fat Jew. just kidding. She had the kind of girl that had a full different outfit every single day, fully hat, scarf, the whole thing.
To have a different scarf every day.
Yeah.
To be that person.
Amazing. You know, like fingerless gloves, totally different looks. And we went to drag bingo one night, and the drag queen came out and started working the room. And just all she did was turn and look at our table, and she goes, "All Forever 21 crew's in the house." And I just, like, started crying laughing. It was like, how the fuck did you do that? You barely looked at us for 2 seconds.
Awesome.
It's just genius. It's genius.
No, it's the best. Plus, like, RuPaul is the shit, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
I have to get in on this whole world.
It's really, really, really fun.
It's deep, too.
Yeah.
It's deep.
Oh, I've seen Paris is Burning and enjoyed it.
That's the best.
Okay, there we go. I'm back in.
100%. Yeah. Paris is Burning is one of the best documentaries that's ever existed.
Yeah, it's very... Mm-hmm. Have you guys been... have you ever watched Cat Dancers?
Yes.
No, what is
it's
that?
It's amazing.
Oh, Brandy, you will
it
die.
It is fucking amazing, Brandy. Ooh. It is... I don't want to give anything away, but everyone listening right now, watch Cat Dancers.
Trust
in us. It is, it's just, I don't know, if you like delusional people and giant tigers and
danger,
Siegfried and Roy and danger.
Murder. I have murder theories.
Espionage. No, none of that is in there.
One of molestation.
Yes, a little bit of that.
It's some of the craziest people. It has a feeling of like an early Errol Morris documentary because you're like, these people cannot be real.
Yep.
Those are my favorite kind of
people.
They're
very real.
Yeah. One of my best Halloween costumes was in college. Me and I had two girlfriends, and like me and my friend Zia, we dressed up like Siegfried and Roy right after the accident. And then our third person wanted
with
to get
fake
in.
Blood.
Yeah, with fake blood. I had like a saline bag that I was holding above my head. And there we went to like this huge drag ball in Philadelphia that happens every year, and like there were several other pairs of Siegfried and Roy, and we kept going up to them and being like, "Fuck you! You think this is funny right now?" We were committed to being the villainous ones.
Nice.
And then our friend Sue was a third girl, and we couldn't find a full tiger costume, but we found a pair of scrubs, and we painted her face like a tiger, and then we put a little name tag on that said Dr. Tiger. And she just kept like becoming me, like, "I'm Dr. Tiger here to finish the job." So stupid.
Oh, like through medical malpractice?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's great. That's so much better than a mauling.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like giving the wrong cc's of medication.
Just really get in there.
Yeah, it was like a very multi-layered costume that nobody got except the three of us, but it was fine. And it was funny because like we splattered ourselves with blood in like the shower of our dorm. And our, at the time, we were living in like a three-bedroom place with, like, three other girls we got placed with during college. And they were all, like, Southern Black Baptists. Like, it could not have been a worse pairing. And we, like, didn't have time to clean up the bathroom. And when they came back, they were just like, did you guys set up the shower like an abortion for Halloween? And we were like, why would we have done that? But also, that's what I will do every year from now on.
Yes, that's hilarious.
That backfired, and you just gave us a very sinister idea.
Yeah.
Black Baptist.
We did. We dyed our hair black in the college dorm bathrooms, and the girls on our floor were livid. Livid. Because they were all like these kind of like sun-in, fake blonde Sacramento girls that were like, "I'm going to pledge a sorority or whatever," and we were like the two people with black hair on the entire campus.
So
they were just like, "Look at this!" Just like, it's a shitty bathroom. It was already disgusting.
Me and my friend Zia, we stole a life size cardboard cutout of the Crypt Keeper, and we put him in the bathroom with a little word bubble that said, "Have a nice pee," and we put a strobe light in the ceiling, and they were they hated us. So much.
Yeah. I love it.
No, it's the best. I miss that Crypt Keeper.
Oh. Have a nice
Pete. Have a nice Pete. Like in his voice, this big smiley face. He's the best.
That's so good.
Oh, the Crypt Keeper. I know who he is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, I watched one of those Tales from the Crypts, and there's a lot of stars. It was like Ted Danson buried up to his neck on the beach, and the ocean slowly drowned him.
Yeah,
and I didn't like seeing Sam Malone die that way.
No.
That's what it was all about, though. I went too far, right, Brandy?
Probably. I wasn't paying attention.
Oddly, Tales from the Crypt was produced by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
Really?
IMDb it, man.
Okay.
A lot of times, I say things and I'm wrong, and then people call me out on them on Twitter. But so far today, I think I've been correct in most of my blurtings.
That's okay, good.
Dennis Miller is in the Tales from the Crypt movie, I believe.
Oh. Dennis, has anyone seen the new Dennis Miller TV show, Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll?
No, oh, man. I didn't know he was in it.
Oh.
Tell me more, tell me more.
It's so rotten. He's written the music.
Yeah.
It's about an old rock star that finds out that he has a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Wait, is Dennis Miller the rock star?
Oh, shit. Not Leary. Dennis Miller. Leary.
Okay, okay.
God
okay.
damn it.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, you're...
It's okay.
Canceled.
Canceled.
This is all canceled.
Of course he
we can talk. Yeah, we can yeah. talk Dennis Leary, though.
It's just... I guess my point is that no woman can appear on screen anymore without having her entire face as smooth as the fucking... You know, a yeah. piece of silk, and Dennis Leary shows up in these insane wigs with a face like that sidewalk, and it's
yeah,
just like
yeah.
what?
Edward James almost face.
Yeah, what
almost.
World are we living
almost.
In? I don't want to look
almost
at this shit.
Smooth.
Edward James, not quite.
Almost.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I like that all of Dennis Leary's shows now are just him fulfilling different midlife crises fantasies.
For real.
That's just kind of what it's become. Just like, I'm going to play the guitar. I'm going to be a woodworker.
I'm a fireman. Yeah. Just like, sit down, third grader.
Yeah, seriously.
I think it's easy to look at stuff he's done and enjoy some of it, but it's that whole fat Jew thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That
it's the zeitgeist.
It's like a drinking game.
Dennis Leary is the OG fat Jew.
He just, yeah, he was famously stole a persona from Bill Hicks, and
yeah.
everyone only in comedy knows that, so it's the worst kind because he never got called out.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he got famous doing it, and there's real specific, a lot of it like, oh, smoking jokes, and, but... All the stuff that was kind of like crowd-pleasy that Bill Hicks did, none
yeah.
of the actual hard-hitting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he just got famous while Bill Hicks died of some sort of cancer. It's so sad.
Was Bill Hicks alive when he started stealing his act, or was it after?
I
wonder what the overlap was.
Yeah, I do too.
Oh,
I'm
God,
not
to,
sure.
Like, to be dying and to see that happen.
Oh, my God.
Extra...
Yeah, what if it started the day that he's like, well, you have cancer. And by the way, here's Dennis Leary's recent Showtime special.
Yeah, like Andy Kaufman on his deathbed just like watching somebody sing to...
the Danger Mouse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Putting things in a dryer. God
yeah.
damn you. There's no way this was your idea.
That old putting things in a dryer bit.
Did you ever see that one?
No, is that a bit?
Yo, yeah.
No, I thought it was just like that was a classic example of what a...
No. He puts stuff in a dryer and then he lets it, it's like shoes and a towel or whatever. So mm-hmm. as it goes, it starts this rhythm.
Yeah.
And then he starts doing a little dance and starts playing along. It's the best.
Oh, that's cute.
Wow.
I like
it's just
that.
Like his, you know, the shit he did.
Yeah.
But there was, of course, a dryer on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like an evening at the Improv.
That's awesome.
That's so great.
I know.
Do you guys think he's still alive?
Yes.
No.
Easily.
No.
He lives right in there.
Yeah. He's right in there. Sitting on Elvis's lap.
Yeah.
It would be, I mean, of all the people that could do it,
could pull it
or
off.
Would do it.
I suppose, yeah.
Because I could see him getting so sick of fame. Like,
yeah.
you know, he was on Taxi. He was on like a big... famous sitcom. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure that life didn't really jive with the way he wanted to be doing things.
Right.
And you know, like, when you do, when you're, like, popular like that, and then you start doing stand-up and people are laughing for the wrong reason.
Yeah, like Steve Martin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's that aspect of it.
I can see that.
Yeah, didn't someone either claiming to be his daughter or was indeed his daughter say, oh, for sure, he's still alive?
I think so.
And I wanted
yeah.
to believe her, but then you listen to her talk and she was kind of
a psychotic?
Tone. Yeah, kind of
yeah,
a loony.
Yeah.
Well, and it was also right in the, like, yeah, anniversary of his death, where it's like,
yeah.
why don't you bring this up earlier?
Yeah, good timing.
Why don't you bring it up year 22?
By yeah. the way, I've written a book.
Oh,
she's
oh
full
shoot.
Of it. She's full of it.
This is the Today Show.
Hey, guess who that guy is, you guys?
The Fat Jew.
Oh, damn it.
Oh. I'm just going to see
again,
him
if you tuned in late, we're talking about a guy who has named himself that. I have Jewish friends, so does Karen, and I don't know
I don't.
Much about the religion,
I
but
don't.
I enjoy the race.
Brandy's already
Brandy actually
claimed to be a neo-Nazi,
yeah.
so
yeah,
this
yeah,
is
fine.
Very
no,
problematic.
I my old therapist, who was Jewish, once told me that she thinks that I was a Jew in a past life, which I took as the highest compliment.
For real.
I'm always, always feel highly complimented. When one time a rabbi sat next to me at this kosher deli place
mm-hmm.
and was trying to convert me, and I was so flattered. It was also kind of weird because he really zeroed in on me and there was all these kids around him and they were all staring and he started talking about kosher food, and then he started asking if I was religious. I don't know if, I don't, it's presumptuous for me to say he was trying to convert me, but he really, 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 really wanted me to get into Judaism. So,
so yeah. He was trying to convert you.
It sounds like he was trying to convert you. Sure.
And at the time, I had a healthy fro, so I think he liked my hair. See, that, I'm pretty sure what I just said was racist.
Fro? The word fro?
I don't know. I have kind of a Jewish fro.
It would have been weird if he was trying to convert you to Scientology.
Yeah, yeah, just everything goes south. Yeah.
That's how they get you. You don't see it. It's like they fake left.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I don't, I'm not interested in Judaism, but what about going to this planet?
You want to hold these weird soda cans in your hand, and I'll tell you that you're, that you have a lot of stress. Yeah. You've seen those stress machines?
Yes.
You hold these two things that look like soda cans, and then there's a little thing that goes back and forth.
Oh,
and then
weird.
The test is like, what are you stressed about? And you're like, well, I don't know. What are these cans in my hand? What's going on right now?
There's a Scientology center across from UT campus in Austin, and they were always offering a stress test. Mm. And I totally was interested. I'm like, sure. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they didn't want to give me one. Maybe I looked poor.
You had a twinkle in your eye.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's just going to be joking.
He's just a hardcore Christian.
Somebody told me that the guys in Seattle that throw the fish are Scientologists.
Really?
No.
That's somebody
from the Levi's 501 commercial.
Every single guy at the fish market?
Yeah. I mean, the person could have been a liar, but they did tell me that. They were like, "Oh yeah, they're all Scientologists."
I need to look into this.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's so
I'm
fun.
I'm going to look
though.
That up. Let's all we have a lot of googling to do this episode.
It's Google time.
Don't worry. Twitter will tell us. Twitter will tell us one way.
Everybody who knows the answers to everything that we've talked about, including Jewish racism, please fill us in.
And do it disrespectfully, please.
please
do it with an all caps "actually." Yeah. Every tweet.
Yeah. Exclamation points.
I don't have enough of those in my day.
Actually, my favorite is when you tweet a joke and someone writes back, "You mean," and then a shitty version of the joke you just did.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, joke cop.
Every time I have to just put my phone down and, like, because I want to
breathe.
Really ream them. It's like, nope, they're probably 19.
Yeah.
Leave them alone.
I have a really itchy block finger. even if it's, like, not mean, but if I just don't like it, done.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get rid of it. I block people. On Facebook, if I see somebody say something stupid in another person's feed, even if I'm not friends with them, I'll just be like, block. You don't ever get to know me.
Yeah, even if you thought about it at some point, you won't be able to.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so great.
Yeah, I just love the idea of them, like, becoming a fan of mine someday and being like, she has no web presence. Like, no.
No.
You did something at some point in your life.
Yes.
You were preemptively cut out of being a fan of mine.
Take that to your deathbed and try to figure out what it is that you did that
and then change it once you think you've figured it out.
Yeah. And then, but you'll never be able to tell me that you changed your ways because you're blocked from all platforms. It is like a slow burning vengeance.
Yes.
Is where I try to live.
Just over decades and decades of time.
Just playing life chess is what I call it. Just like, I'll get your fucking queen someday. Don't worry.
It may take a while.
Yeah.
Just when you think it's over, that's when it just begun.
Mm-hmm. Just a casual Shakespearean villain. That's all I am.
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
Well, this has been wonderful.
Yeah, it has been wonderful.
Yeah, thanks for picking me up and driving me around, guys.
You're a podcast champion.
Anyone go to this pool party? Let's go swim in a pool.
Yeah, I can go to a pool party.
I want to go to the pool party.
I can't. I have a show.
Oh, you have a comedy concert.
Oh, I have a show too. What are you doing tonight?
We are opening for Janine at Largo. Garofalo.
Garofalo.
That's awesome.
Yes, I'm very excited.
I don't know why I said it that way. I'm taking the night off. I'm just interjecting. No one asked. I have no concert tonight.
Well, you've had a couple concerts. You had to do two last night, right?
Yeah, I did do two.
So, good. Take a night off.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Should have a little break sometimes. Gotta be a person.
Well, guys, here. Have fun at this party and try to really connect with one person that you may not know that well. Okay. I give you that challenge.
Okay. I guarantee you I will, but it'll be the person that I least want to talk to.
And you're going to deeply connect with them.
That, I am that person. I get cornered by the person I don't want to talk to, mm-hmm. and then I get to watch everybody else have the fun conversations yeah. on the other side of the party. That's me in a nutshell.
You know constantly. Why? You don't do enough drugs.
I know.
Or any right?
Drugs, yeah. Any drugs.
That's
Let's
what it
do
is.
Illicit drugs. Tonight.
I'm going to start drugs.
Do some drugs with Chris.
Okay.
Is there any other than becoming a drug addict, anything you want to plug? Brandy?
Other than my, you can find me in the drugs. Back alley behind your building doing drugs.
near the dumpster.
If my life doesn't fall apart, I will be recording my album on September 20th.
Yes, and I'll be there.
And where yeah. is it again?
That's at the Redgate Recorders in Highland Park. You can get tickets for it at tinyurl.com/sugartank.
Sugar Tank.
Because the show that I run there monthly is called Sugar in Your Gas Tank, which is after a Less Than Jake song.
Oh, nice. Wow.
But I think it also sounds like a euphemism for laughter that nobody uses. I mostly just wanted to, like, you know, get a little sugar in your gas tank. That feels
yeah,
like fun.
Yeah.
I wanted to name my show after a Less Than Jake song.
I like it. I like
it. Let the medicine go down.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And then the Lady to Lady podcast. I highly recommend you give it a listen. Guys like my podcast a lot, too. We actually had a guy a couple weeks ago that emailed us, and he was like, hey, I found you guys when I was going through a really bad divorce, and I don't hate women because of your podcast.
Oh, that's yes. great.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you guys really are doing God's work in that way.
It's too bad that he was just one podcast away from hating all women, though.
He was really close.
Many of us are right on the verge, yeah. and, you know, you can get tipped one way or the other, depending on who yeah. you tune into.
It really wouldn't take much for me to hate all men, unfortunately.
Yeah. I was just this episode away from being okay with fat Jews.
Yeah. Well, I hope we've
again,
people
if you're
in
just
that
tuning
direction.
In, I'm talking about a specific guy that calls himself the fat Jew. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride with Brandy Posey as our guest. She was terrific. DYNAR!
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off. Style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.